In West Virginia's coal mining communities this weekend, funeral services are being held for victims of the Sago mine accident this past week. 12 men died, one in the initial explosion on Monday, and 11 others were killed by poisonous gases as rescue workers took more than 40 hours to reach them. One man survived. Doctors for Randall McCloy Jr. said his condition has improved, but he remains in a medically induced coma to allow his brain to heal from oxygen deprivation. Sago, a town of few houses, a church, and the mine, instantly was turned into the center of national attention as word of the accident spread. But by Thursday evening, Sago was no longer a busy place. Just a few miles from Buckhannon, the largest town around, you take a long and winding road to reach the Sago mine. You first pass the Baptist Church. There are a few cars in the parking lot, a few people coming out. In order to get to the access road to the mine itself, you have to climb up a hill, cross a stream, walk through the mud, and get to this road, which overlooks the Sago mine. There's a state policeman here who's checking all the traffic coming in and out. But from here, you can see the mine shaft. It is lit. There are cars parked in the parking lot. Tonight it's cold and it's damp, but all in all it's quiet. Just as veins of coal lace through the Appalachian Mountains, coal dust flows through the veins of the men, women, and children who live in the hollows and towns that dot those rolling hills. Along the two-lane roads of Upshur and Barber counties, churches and businesses, one after another, displayed signs sharing a common sentiment: pray for the miners' families. Flags hung at half-staff in the damp air. Black ribbons adorned the front doors of homes and stores. In Philippi, less than an hour's drive from Sago, members of the Malcolm family sat down on Friday morning over coffee at the Medallion restaurant to talk about mining, their community, and their lives, with a mix of resolve and holding back tears.
I'm Charles Malcolm. I'm a retired coal miner. I have approximately 24 years of mining experience.
I'm Jackie Malcolm, Charlie's wife. I'm very proud of my family. I'm very proud of my three daughters, our son-in-laws, more so Charlie.
My name's Tracy Malcolm Rexrode. I'm the middle daughter. I'm the mother of four children. I have a 17-year-old daughter, a 15-year-old son, 7-year-old twins. My husband and I have been married for 17 years. We also lived away but came back home to West Virginia, and it's great to be back with our family.
I'm Carol Malcolm Parsons, and I'm the youngest daughter. My husband and I live in Clarksburg, but recently moved back to West Virginia to be closer to my parents.
We are a mining family. My father was a miner. My mother died when I was 4 months old. I was raised by foster parents. I had a brother that was a miner. My wife's father was a miner. We have several nephews that are active miners today. Throughout most of West Virginia, the mining industry was the best economic situation around. Just to be blunt, they paid the best money. And if you're going to work, you might as well make the best money you can while you're at it. I was actually chosen to be a roof boulder when I was hired. A roof boulder is a individual who is responsible for installing the permanent roof supports in a area of the underground mine where the coal has been extracted. I was really hesitant to go to work in the mines. Everybody knows that mining is and has been and always will be hazardous. But coal mining is not the most hazardous job out there. This is my daughter, Carol.
What I was just going to say is that it's even less hazardous now than it would have been when he started. I mean, there was always in the background of our minds concern. I mean, I just remember when I was little, especially, if I was home and he left for work and I didn't get to kiss him goodbye, that was just devastating, you know. But by the same regard, it's not like we sat the whole time he was at work wringing our hands or...
I'm 5 years older than Carol, so I think maybe sometimes my older sister and I had a little bit more of a mature sense about what he was doing than she did. And I remember when he started in the mines and we took our first family vacation. We went to Charleston, West Virginia on our first family vacation.
The mines would shut down for a week or 2 weeks. 2 weeks every summer, so...
The last week in June, first week in July was miners' vacation. I mean, that was the time of year, you know.
And because of the mining community, everybody was on vacation at the same time, which was a real nice thing, you know, really. And like Tracy said, it might not have been a big, huge trip or anything, but we went somewhere as a family for at least part of a week.
But the miner's life, the life you had as a miner, provided stability for the family. You could take vacations together at the same time.
My mom was able to stay home the majority of our growing up. She did go to work in retail for a while.
I'd like to bring your mom into the conversation. What was going through your head when your husband decided to go into the mines?
I was a little concerned. I said a prayer for him. Not only Charlie, but everybody. But we had the good times. We had the vacations. We had our insurance. We had three little ones. You know, we set up a strike box, which the kids may have told you. We would buy the necessities ahead of time, put them in a box. The children were not allowed to bother the box.
Jackie, when you met your husband?
We went to high school together.
You did?
Graduated together.
She got me through high school.
Mm-hmm. He went to the military. We kept in contact. He was in the Air Force. He came home in 63. He gave me a diamond. We waited a year. He moved to Ohio, got a job, and I went with him. I wasn't happy in Ohio.
I hear you talk more about strikes than I do hear you talk about accidents.
And don't you think that's probably because of him? He never talked about it. We were protected from that part.
I never really worried about explosions or water. Roof falls were always my big concern, was him being trapped.
Have there been accidents?
Yes. We have had some extremely serious accidents. A couple, you know, are required to use walking assistance and those things. The mine that I worked in, for whatever reason, never had a fatality. The Lord had to have something to do with that, and why, you know, we can't get there.
What about in your extended family?
We've had a nephew on Jackie's side killed in a mining accident in Alabama. On my side, we lost a nephew by marriage in a mining accident.
I have an uncle that has passed away, but he and a couple of his sons, it's in their blood. I mean, that's what they wanted to do every day of their life. And my dad can't say that. But my Uncle Bruce, coal mining was his passion. He absolutely loved it. And he has sons that it's been their life, too.
We have a nephew by marriage in our family that I knew when he was a little fella. And if you would ask him as a youngster, what do you want to be when you get out of school? I want to be a coal miner. And that's what he's done. He works today. He goes to work every day as a coal miner.
And his son
is the one that was killed in a mining accident in Alabama.
That was probably the hardest.
Given that mining is a way of life here, how does the community recover from the tragedy that happened? How do you go on?
We are very faith-based. We are a family. And, you know, these terrible tragedies have created a void in our lives that can never be filled. Never be filled. And it's, you know, We go to the families and we hug them, and we don't say anything. We just go hug them and cry with them, and just let them know that we're there for their support. And they know that if they need anything, anything at all they have to do is ask.
Charlie and Jackie and Carol and Tracy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jesse Baker produced the story of our visit to West Virginia, and Rob Byers was our sound engineer. Disaster has always loomed large in the lives of mining families. Homer Hickam, whose Coal Town memoir became the film October Sky, writes about growing up in Coalwood, West Virginia, in an essay at our website, npr.org.